Welcome, everyone. It's the Plastic Surgery Revolution, and I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis. I also have with me today Jani Moon, who's going to sit in with us and talk about some fun things. Jani, how are you?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much for having me again on the show.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you here. So I want to ask you, Jani, a question. So you're a media coach, you're a lifestyle coach, and as a plastic surgeon, I want to ask you a question, all right? If you're...
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. So if you're a man, all right, the guy that you're hanging out with, the guy that you're with, decides that he wants to have something done to make him look better. So he's coming to you and saying, all right, I want to do a little bit of cosmetic surgery. What's your opinion on something like that? How would you, you know, be about that?
Dr. Davis, this is a great question. I would like to think that I'm open-minded, but I think it depends on a couple of different things. If he's an actor, I think I would be more inclined to be like, okay, I get it. Your face is your commodity. But if my boyfriend were to say I would love to go get some Botox, I guess I am a little old school. I think that I have a little judgment of him being a little too egotistical or he doesn't need it. There is a total double standard, and it's really unfair, but it feels like when men age, we think they look great. The lines, the wrinkles look good on them, where with women, we need to add in the Botox and the fillers.
So let me ask you, what if it was something like he wanted to have love handles removed? He wanted to have a little liposuction. He wanted to do something more surgical on his body. Would that be something that you would feel the same way about?
Well, if he had man boobs, I would say, hell to the yes.
Okay.
I think that's a really good question. I think I would try to be open-minded if it was really, really, really important to him. But I would be lying if I didn't say I had a little judgment around it as well.
Well, here's the thing. We're doing so many more procedures nowadays on guys that one of the things that I really think is interesting is how they present to the office. Many of these guys, they come in and they're coming in by themselves and they're talking about things, but when it's time for the surgery, their wives or their girlfriends come in and they look like a deer in the headlights, Jani. They have never been involved in the decision. Yeah, they were like, it seems to me like they kind of got, it was sprung on them, potentially, at the last second. Like, you know, I need a ride to the surgery center because I'm having a little surgery today. And it's funny because the women come in and they know nothing about the procedure. Like, you know, so a guy is so totally different when it comes to things like plastic surgery or anything like that. So the more these procedures get to be less and less involving of others, the more likely it is that these guys do it. And the reason why I'm talking about this is I just finished doing a rhinoplasty this morning. And it's like one of the greatest operations, by the way, because it's like this little tiny area that you're really working on. And you can make so many intricate little maneuvers that make such a huge difference. It's really a phenomenal procedure, but we'll get into that at another time. But what I wanted to say to you was certain procedures definitely need, you know, an operating room. They need an anesthesiologist and all those other things. So they need a driver. The patient's going to need somebody to bring them and pick them up and everything else. So most of these guys try to be so independent and so like not involving anyone so that they can do this procedure. So
They're embarrassed? They don't want anyone to know?
You know what? I think it's what you said in the beginning, though. I think it's almost like they feel like their wife or their girlfriend is going to judge them in some way, and it's going to make them feel uncomfortable about doing it. Now, we do have that other subsection of patients that come in with their wives or their girlfriends for the consultation, and they're all, you know, about it. So, you know, they'll get into it and they'll talk a little bit about it, and it's just like a regular consultation. But the more and more I'm doing these, you know, guy plastic surgery things, you really do get the sense that they're doing it because they really like have this self-image thing that they want to change or do something about, but they're uncomfortable about talking about it with others, even if it's their significant other, even if it's their wife or their girlfriend or something. And I think that's why I wanted to ask you, because I guess that's the, you know, the number one connotation would be, you don't need to do that. You look fine. And it maybe even it's a little girly of a thing for some of these guys to think that they really want to do it, right?
Is what's interesting is that you have shared that certain surgeries are not a taboo. We can talk about getting a labia surgery now for women, but there's still some taboo, it feels like, around plastic surgery in men. Is that, do you find that to be true?
I do, and it's starting to change very, very much because, and this is where I was leading with this, all these non-surgical type procedures that don't involve having some help, like bringing you to the operating room, having someone drive you, these guys are all about jumping in on that. So things, for instance, like Botox, which is, you know, a muscle relaxer of the face, a wrinkle filler that guys want to do, those type of things they can come in, do, they don't even have to tell anybody about it, and they're on their way. So a lot of those type of a procedure really are bent a lot more towards men, believe it or not, than to even women, because women don't have a problem anymore talking about a lot of these things or even telling their husbands. But guys that really want to break into this are really starting to get more and more about, can you do this in your office? Can you do this like without me telling anybody? Can I just drive myself? Like all those types of things. So it's kind of cool.
Wow. Well, I'll be honest. I don't know any man in my life that's had anything done or that they've shared with me. So I think it's interesting that they probably are getting it done. They're just, like you said,
We got to change that up on you, Jannie. We got to change that up on you.
They're dealing with judgmental women like myself.
We got to change that up, because here's the thing. Something like cool sculpting is a way of just non-surgically freezing unwanted fat away. So I'm in the gym early in the morning usually, and the other day I see this guy coming into my office that I always see at the gym, and I go, hey, like, what's happening, what you doing here? He goes, I'm coming in to get cool sculpted. And he brought in his briefcase and his work, because you can sit down in this room, you get hooked up with this machine on, let's say, your love handles, and within an hour that area gets really cold and frozen, and he puts his suit back on and goes back to work. His, you know, his wife or his girlfriend or whatever doesn't have to know anything about it. And I think those types of procedures, and that's what's so interesting, they always start out geared so much towards the female market because, you know, let's face it, you know, 80%, 85% of all plastic surgery type things are always geared towards females. But these non-surgical procedures now are really so, like, you know, in the wheelhouse of a guy, that once they get a hold of what it can do and how easy it is and how you don't have to let anybody know about it, it's unbelievable. It really is. There's a whole new marketing campaign from the Botox company called, and it's all about for men, it's called Lose Your Lines, Not Your Edge. And it's all a marketing campaign on just focusing on telling guys, hey, this is something that you could do just as well as women could.
Well, in hearing you talk, Dr. Davis, the one part of me, the big part of me that's like, well, we need to change our attitude is that as a woman, and I consider myself to be somewhat of a feminist and a strong woman, it really is a double standard. That if women are going to be, if we're going to say it's okay for women to get plastic surgery, why is it not okay for men?
Bingo. That's it.
Vice versa. So, I mean, that if you were to really zoom out and look at, like, it actually has to do with gender roles and identity and equality and treating both sexes with the same amount of regard and respect. But I would be lying to tell you if there wasn't a part of me that still is still not there yet for whatever reason.
Well, I got to tell you, Jenny, you keep hanging out with me, and I'm going to start to swing you the other way a little bit, because it really is all about just having whoever wants to feel good about themselves and everything. That's the idea, if it's a man, if it's a lady. So you just got to keep hanging out with me a little bit, and I think I'll be able to like swing you over a little bit more. So we're going to be taking a break, and we're going to be coming right back. You're listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution. I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis, and we have Jenny Moon with us today.
Tonight, but if you've ever been a lady to begin with, luck be a lady tonight.
Everybody's having a good time. You're listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution, and I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis, and I'm so excited that we have a female perspective of everything we're talking about. We have Jenny Moon with us, and we're just talking about how she would feel as a beautiful young woman having her man come to her and say, hey, I'm thinking about getting some plastic surgery. And we happen to be lucky enough that on our line, I have a caller. Harry, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi,
Harry. How are you?
Good, hello. Good. Thanks. Thanks for calling in. So tell me, what can we talk about?
Well, I was thinking that we could talk about Kylie Jenner.
Oh, cool. Go ahead.
Are you obsessed with Kylie, too?
I just, you know, I kind of, like, want to defend her against all the people that, like, freak out over her, you know, alleged procedures that she's had done.
Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest with you, Harry. I guess, you know, and I'm tainted because I'm, you know, this plastic surgery guy. Number one,
yeah.
She's a gorgeous girl. Number two, she has beautiful lips. And I got to tell you, every single patient that comes into my office, I had 53 patients that came through my office yesterday. We had a big injectable fun day yesterday. Everyone that wanted their lips done, who do you think the first person that they talked about?
Kylie Jenner.
Bingo. Bingo.
Yeah,
so that's it.
I think it's so interesting that she's become this like icon almost.
It is. It's very interesting. You know, I've read a couple of articles by plastic surgeons in the Beverly Hills area, and they think that she will be like the next Marilyn Monroe type figure because she's getting started early with everything, and she's got such a huge following.
Yeah, it's crazy, and especially since her following is so impressionable and so young.
Yes,
which,
true.
I mean, that raises the question, like, is she a good role model if she's, you know, she's got this little tiny body and she's got these big lips and, you know, it's like, do we want American youth to be getting all of that stuff done when they're 15, 16?
It's no different than Pamela Anderson when everyone was getting big breasts.
Well, you know what, Jenny? Let me ask you a question, because Harry brings up a very good question. I want to ask you something, Jenny. So do you think that she even needs to be a role model? I mean, do you think that that's something that this kid even needs to think about?
I don't think she's trying one way or the other. She's just having fun and living her life. It's the other
women
who are making her a role model, because listen, we all agree, the lips make her look super sexy. And is she prettier? I would say 90% of most people would say, yeah, her lips look great. My concern, Dr. Davis, is there long-term effects? She uses, there's so much lip enhancement. It's not just a little, it's a lot.
It's a lot, I know.
Stuff?
Well,
you know,
for what, here's the thing, what we know from a real scientific perspective is that the injectable products that she is using, and it's the hyaluronic acid fillers. So some of the names that people would know would be Restylane, Juvederm, those types of things are all plumpers. they are actually water-loving material, so that if you inject it into your lips, if you inject it into like a wrinkle, it'll attract water from the surrounding cells and plump it up. Now, the product itself is probably going to last somewhere between, let's say, 8 months to a year. We have patients that come in constantly because as soon as they start to get a little bit smaller, they want to blow them back up again. Now, over the course of years and years and years, are you saying that the frequent injections into the lips could potentially do something? I got to tell you the truth. As we know as plastic surgeons, I don't think so. But someone that starts as early as she is, I don't know. That could be a very good thing to watch as years go by.
It feels like it would stretch out the lip, like just like breast implants.
Right. You know, I guess if you do it to an extreme with materials that are not forgiving, I think that there's definitely, you know, do you know those guys and girls that wear those gauges in their earlobes?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen those? Harry, have you seen those before? You know?
Yeah, of course. I don't think you can't go back from that, can you? You'll just have
Not unless you do surgery. I've operated on a lot of guys that needed to, like, get a real job after they did that, or they wanted to go into the military. Harry, you don't have those, do you?
No,
you don't
have
those gauges. Okay. Because, the first question, I got to be honest with you, the first question I ask everybody that comes in my office with those gauges, what do you do for a living? Like, what kind of a job? I can never imagine, you know, where you could get a job working with those. And some of them are severe. And Jani, to your... Oh, my God. But to your point, Jani, that gauge does stretch out the ear, just like Harry was saying. There's no going back from that. And what they do, because I got this interest in this craziness, you know, because I'm crazy myself. So when I talk to these guys, you know, they're coming in, they do this, like they start off with a small size, then they go with a bigger one, and it's constantly just trying to stretch that out so that you can get this enormous gauge in there. And once it reaches a point, sometimes the vascularity to the earlobe is compromised, and I've had to do like surgeries to repair them and then like do like an earlobe reconstruction. So it's kind of a cool surgery, to be honest, but it's weird. But Harry, I think your point is well taken. I think she's a beautiful girl. I think she's able to do whatever she really wants to do. And I do think, you know, even if she didn't take on that job or that responsibility of being like an icon or the next Marilyn Monroe, she does have this following. So, I mean, anything that she talks about, anything that she does, people are running out and getting it.
Yeah.
And then I just have a real quick question for Harry. Harry, because we were talking about it earlier, would you get plastic surgery done as a man?
It's an interesting question because I've thought about it before. I don't know. There's nothing really that, like, I mean, if I were a girl, you know, maybe I would get, like, a boob job or something. But I don't know. I don't think so.
Harry, you're happy with yourself. You're happy with the way you look. You're happy with yourself, right?
Yeah, and like
that's good.
The risk would like be too, like I would be afraid of health risks.
I love what you're saying, Harry, because it's true. But see, but this is the thing, Harry. You're happy with yourself, and when it comes down to this, this is always a risk-benefit ratio. I talk to every patient the same way. And if something is really like the guy that I operated on today with a rhinoplasty, the nose job, I mean, there's a risk inherent in going under anesthesia and everything else, but he hated that nose so much that it's worth the risk.
Yeah, no, and I understand that.
Right.
I totally understand why people do it.
I'm happy that you're so happy with yourself, Harry. Thank you so much for calling into the show.
Bye.
And
thank you so
we
much.
Will be. Thank you, Harry. We will be back in a few moments. You're listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution, and I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis, and we'll be right back.
Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution, and I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis. Okay, Janny Moon's with us as well. She's going to answer a quick question for me, Janny. Okay, so with this recent $1.3 billion lottery, right? Somebody wins that $1.3 billion lottery, and then you can have any plastic surgery procedure that you want. So forget about the cost of anything. What would you get?
Oh, my gosh.
Because I'm telling you, people were coming around talking to me about this all the time. If I win that lottery, here's what I'm going to do. That's what everybody was, you know, rambling about. So, Janny, what do you think?
Okay, so this is a really interesting question. Because I shared with you before that in my 20s, I was like, I would never get anything done. But now that I'm 40, I totally am open to it.
Right.
And I actually have three things, believe it or not, that I don't know what I would decide on. One is a breast lift.
Uh-huh.
One possibly could be a teeny. I do like my nose, but I could maybe do a teeny tiny little procedure with it.
Really? You got a great nose.
Oh, you're sweet. But I do, there. I could make it have more of a, I don't know, like more stuff there. My sunglasses just fall all the way. I can't wear sunglasses. They just fall all the way down. And the main thing, though,
I probably would get
is the skin underneath my chin. I feel like I'm getting a waddle. That's so attractive.
Really? Oh, so we got to talk all about that. I don't think you got that, but I do have a couple of really cool things that can fix that. So we got to talk about that.
Definitely.
Janny, I think, but it's interesting because everybody's got this list, and that's what I thought was so interesting because people were coming up to me in the hallways of the hospital or just like patients that were coming into the office, and they were all telling me, oh, there's $1.3 billion. I'm coming in to see you, Dr. Dave, as soon as I, you know, hit that lottery. And it's just funny that there's something that I think people really do focus on. And, you know, if all the you know, jump in and do this. Janny, we have another caller on the line with us. Sophia?
Yeah.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Just fine, just fine. So what can we talk about?
So if I can, I'm actually at the gym right now, but I guess I would get lipo because it's easy.
Gotcha. Where would you get it done?
Like
what
the
part of your body?
Area?
Okay.
And maybe the arms.
Cool. Have you ever gone for a consultation or anything to like look into like what it would like really entail to do that?
No, I never have.
It sounds like you're really young. How old are you?
I'm like 25.
Oh, great. Great. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. Janny, I was going to bring this up in our last segment, but since Sophia's talking about something and she's only 25 years of age, can I tell you guys something?
Yeah.
All right, so listen. Sophia, I'm jumping in on your territory. I don't know if you have anything else that you really wanted to ask, but I got to say something. Do you know, I was thinking about this the other day. Because somebody came in and wanted to talk to me about anti-aging. And I was sitting there listening to them pontificate about the vitamins and everything else that they were looking up that they were taking. And it dawned on me, do you know what the number one best thing you could do to really do something unbelievable about the aging process? Like the number one anti-aging trick. Do you know what that would be?
Maybe it was like
say it again,
exercise.
Sophia. Okay, you got exercise. What do you think, Sophia? Anything?
I think it would be getting too much sun on your skin.
That's a good one, too. But you know what the number one would be?
No.
Start. Here it is. Start early. That's
key.
And that's why. That's the key. It is so, and I'm telling you, as a board-certified plastic surgeon, I got every tool in the business. And I'm telling you the truth. It's so much easier to like prevent the aging process? Because all the things that you both just said are exactly right. If you exercise, if you stay out of the sun, if you do all those things, but you're starting it at an early age, it's going to be so much easier to do this whole anti-aging thing. The problem is that when I see patients that come in their late 60s and 70s, or even late 50s, or even 50, and they've been smoking like for 40 years, they've been, you know, sitting out in the sun and baking in the sun with no sun protection, they've been doing a lot of unhealthy things, it's very difficult to turn that clock back. It's very difficult to start this whole anti-aging thing. But starting somebody early with preventative stuff, oh my God, it's ridiculous how much better that would be. So you're exactly right, Sophia. Are you doing things like sunscreens, exercising? Did you do all that?
I do that, but I don't use any anti-aging products per se.
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you, if do you eat well? Like, do you eat healthy and all that other stuff?
Yeah.
With, see, there's so much information out there about just eating healthy, taking the right kinds of food in, making sure that you're exercising, you know, doing sun protection if you're in the sun and all those other things. I think that's such a key, especially if you have the bug about that at the age of 25 and you're even thinking about like a lipo thing or something. It sounds to me like you're probably very, you know, mindful about the whole anti-aging routine. So I think you're on the right track. Say again?
Would she need liposuction this early? Because some things I've heard, like Botox, I hear is good to have early because it actually can help strengthen the muscles so you get less wrinkles, natural wrinkles. But is liposuction, is there certain procedures that are better to do later or earlier?
You know, I guess there may be, but in terms of liposuctioning, really, here's the thing, because I'll tell you, both of you, a quick story. I had a young lady that's 18 years old that came into my office with her mom, and she wants liposuctioning for her graduation from high school.
Whoa.
And I told her, you know, and here's the thing. Here's what I said, and I was very, very honest. I said, first of all, you look like you're probably about 14. So she had a very, 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 like, youthful appearance, which is wonderful. But I think a lot of the fat that she was looking at was baby fat. And I do think that's a mistake to start trying to liposuction a kid who really hasn't hit their growth spurt or really hormonally hasn't started to go towards the adulthood stage of things.
Mm-hmm.
So in that situation, I would say, give that person some time to grow up, let them mature a little bit, and a lot of that fat will just burn off. And we see that a lot in young boys that are 13, 14 that have like gynecomastia or this female appearance to their chest. So they kind of like very embarrassed in the gym classes and everything else. But the problem is at that age, a lot of them are just so young that they actually have more estrogen running through their system than they do testosterone. So once they kick into gear, I think a lot of that burns off and they really avoid having to have any kind of a surgical procedure. Now, after having said that, Sophia, that's 25, that may have maybe a little bit of extra padding around her six-pack that she's developing at the gym, I think it's a great thing to do something about sculpting that away. And you can do that surgically with a little liposuction, or, as I was talking about before, this revolutionary new thing called Cool Sculpting, which is totally non-surgical, and it basically just freezes fat away from unwanted, you know, fat pockets on the body. So, to answer your question, Jannie, I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that. I think you're really eliminating permanently, you know, a padding, a fat around an area where you really don't want it to be anyway. So, anyway, Sophia, any other questions or anything that you had in mind?
What was the name of that thing that's not surgical?
It's called Cool Sculpting.
Okay.
And if you Google it, you'll see it's a phenomenal thing. It's been around since about 2009, and they're coming out with all new applicators, so you can almost put it on like the inside of your knee. You can put it on like by your arm near your bra line area. That's like a million different little locations, and it takes about an hour. It freezes the fat, and it goes away within 3 to 4 weeks. Incredible.
Well,
an incredible thing.
I've never heard of it. I've never
Yeah, that sounds great. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's really a very cool thing. You'll Google it. You'll see what it's all about. And Sophia, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate
you.
It. And keep listening. We're going to take a quick break. And you're listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution. You got to come back because we're going to be finishing up the show with another very, very important question I want to ask Jani. And everyone keep listening. And we'll be right back. Plastic Surgery Revolution, but we got such good music going on today. I'm not sure we want to continue talking, Jani, over this music. This is great stuff. It's the Plastic Surgery Revolution. I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis. I have Jani Moon with me. Jani, we're talking about all these things plastic surgery wise, and I got to share something with you, okay?
What?
It's not like, you know, I'm sitting in a candy store kind of every day. Because I could try out these things if I really thought that there was something I'd wanted to, you know, work on. So when I was bringing this procedure called Cool Sculpting into the practice, which is really, like as I'm saying, it's a totally non-surgical way of doing things. And it's basically this incredible machine. And if you know what you're doing and you know how to use it, you can just apply it on different parts of the body and really freeze away unwanted fat. So guess who was the first guinea pig to jump on board with this?
No way!
Where absolutely. Here's the thing. I am as big of a skeptic as you can find. So I said, okay, here's what we're doing. I'm going to take a love handle on my right side. And, you know, again, I just want to make sure everybody that's listening knows it wasn't a gigantic love handle. But, I mean, it's a guy's love handle-ish type thing. And I said, I'm only going to do one side. And I want to see if this damn thing's really going to work. So I did it. I'm telling you the truth. For the first, like, 2 or 3 minutes, it really, like, kind of gets super cold. Like, I mean, frozen cold. And then the area basically becomes numb. So you don't really even know you're doing anything. And you sit there for an hour, and it's over. So I only did one side purposely. And at the end of about 2 weeks, I definitely started to notice that that right side looked, you know, a lot thinner than the left side. And then by the third or fourth week, it was incredibly different. So then I ended up, you know, hopping on the machine and doing the left side because I wanted to naturally, you know, be balanced. But I'm telling you, I did it to myself, and it's an amazing thing. So that's why I'm telling you, I know it works. And I wouldn't have brought it into the practice if I didn't think that it was going to be something that I could really hang my hat on and say it really did work. So it's a phenomenal thing. But that is something, I guess, like, you know, you look at yourself every day. And if there are things that you would like to do, you start to weigh the risk-benefit ratio of these things. And if it's something that you really, you know, trust in, you can get it done. And that's why it was interesting to hear about the things that you would do, Jani.
Oh, right. For those who are just tuning in, I confess that I have thought about getting a breast lift nose job and a chin. You know, part of it, too, is my Korean mother, Dr. Davis.
Yeah.
Koreans love plastic surgery. They love it.
I know.
I think they get more plastic surgery than any Asian country.
It's true.
And she constantly is like, Danny, you need a boob job. You need chin job. Part of it is she's an overcritical Asian mother, but part of it, too, is she really values plastic surgery, but I'm constantly, she's like telling me how she feels like, I pay. It's so kind of hilarious. But having that said, she totally picked out areas that I would have picked out too, as like,
see?
Not my favorite area.
Right. Well, let me ask you something. If you thought that it wasn't going to be surgical, would that be something that would make you to go towards doing the thing for the nose, let's say, or doing something for the chin?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The surgery part, I think anyone going under anesthesia is scary.
Yeah.
And surgery, just the word surgery, it feels scary.
That's exactly right.
If it's non-surgical, definitely I would be way more apt to.
So let me tell you something. One day, Jenny, that could be another great show. We just have to have some video attachment to it. But I can show you that we could really do like a non-surgical, like rhinoplasty. You would be flipped out. You would
totally
be flipped out.
We totally need a show just on non-surgical.
Right. I'm telling you, we can do a special thing where we inject a little bit of that, you know, the same stuff that Kylie Jenner is using in her lips and all that stuff. We can inject a little, almost like toothpick-like segments of that product on the bridge of the nose, and it actually raises the bridge of the nose so you get more structure to the nose. Because if you need to do that surgically, what we do is we sometimes need to take cartilage from, let's say, the back of someone's ear and graft that to the nose to build up the nose a little bit. So if what you're talking about, like with your sunglasses you were mentioning, that the sunglasses really don't stay on the bridge of your nose. So that whole area, if we did want to like prop that up a little bit and just make it a little bit more like of an elegant type of a lift, we can do that with little tiny threads of this product. Very cool. We numb up the nose with a little topical numbing, and it's a little tiny needle. We inject it, and that's the end of that. Jenny, there's one off your list right there.
But that's something I'd have to continue to do, right?
Like, well, let me tell you, it's an interesting thing you just brought up. So the products are generally about a year they last, but in areas where the zone is not under a lot of activity, like a nose, like around the eyes, that may last well into like a year and a half or maybe even more. Around the lips, that's an area with chewing and eating and talking. That product kind of burns itself up just from the metabolism that's going on there. But when you put it into the nose, that thing lasts well over a year. And the beauty of it is you get an opportunity to see if you liked it. If you did, it's just a simple injection again. Or at that point, you could say, you know what? I love the way it looks so much. Let's do it more permanently. And then we take it to the operating room and actually do a real surgery.
Wow, I had no idea.
I know. Well, that's why you're doing this show with me.
I know, right?
You're learning about all this fun stuff.
Next time, you have to confess what surgeries you might do. I told you what I would do, but next time you have to
I'll do that, Jenny. The only problem is I got to be 100% honest with you. I don't really trust a lot of people to do anything to me. So if I could do it to myself, I would, like with this cool sculpting thing, there was no problem. But I don't really trust everybody to do it because I think I have like my best interest at heart, and I kind of know what I would do, and I wouldn't want to go overboard because I kind of listen to what everybody says, and I feel the same way. Like, you really want to trust somebody to like listen to what they want to have done. And when I would just worry that if I turn myself over to somebody
nobody's
else,
as good as you. Nobody's as good as you, Dr. Davis.
Well, I don't know about that, but that's very nice of you to say. Jenny, thank you so much for spending time with me on the air today. Everyone's been listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution. It's a great show today. Hope everybody enjoyed themselves. And we will be back next week. Jenny, take care of yourself. Any given Sunday, win a Super Bowl and drive off in a Hyundai. She was supposed to buy your shorty Tyco with your money. She went to the doctor, got LiPo with your money. She walk around looking like Michael with your money. Should have got that insured guy. The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.